the Word of God serving as our text. Our second lesson from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 5 through 6. In Christ Jesus, who loves us and gave himself for us, dear fellow redeemed. At fire station number 6 in Livermore, California, there hangs a very odd-looking globe that's been serving that community since 1901. I'm talking about a light bulb that's been burning continuously for the last 119 years, which happens to make it the Earth's oldest functioning electric light. Would you believe that people travel from all over the planet to get a look at this curiosity? And when they do, they take out their cell phone, take a selfie to prove that they have seen the light. Today, you and I have the opportunity to see something far greater, much older than that light bulb. Through our study of Scripture, we get to glimpse the shining glory of our God in the face of Christ, so that by the time we leave here today, all of us can say we have seen the light by the grace of God in the face of Christ. Of course, it is the very nature, the very purpose of light to dispel darkness. I'm sure that's what God had in mind as he carefully sketched the beautiful word pictures before us today. Imagine yourself lost and alone in a place where the darkness is so dense, so deep, that you can't see your hand before your face. You don't know where to go, which way to turn. It'd be frightening, wouldn't it? Well, it doesn't take that much imagination to draw a comparison between that scenario and the way we often do feel as we live our day-to-day lives. Troubles darken our doorstep. The pain of failed relationships. The guilt we bear. The weight of our worries often descend on us like a thick fog of darkness, so that we don't know which way to turn. It is scary. Some days it's terrifying. Of course, in that moment, we don't appreciate the fact that we're not alone in this. This isn't unique to us. People have always felt this way. In fact, listen to what the man named Solomon, a king of Israel, says about his life. As a man comes, so he departs. And what does he gain since he toils for the wind? All his days he eats in darkness with great frustration, affliction, and anger. He makes it sound so hopeless, doesn't he? And in fact, life would be hopeless if we were left to our own devices, which is exactly the point Paul has in mind when he writes in the opening words of our text, "For we do not preach ourselves." What's he saying? Simply this, Paul is not going to put himself out there as the solution to people's problems. He's not some self-help guru who has learned to pull himself up in life by his own bootstraps and now wants to share the secret of that success with everyone else. Paul knows he can't do that because he knows very well his life is as much of a mess as the next person's, and maybe more so, as he readily admits elsewhere in Scripture, confessing himself to be the worst of sinners. And just like that, Paul puts his finger on the source of all this darkness and trouble that we're talking about. Sin is the culprit, sin that's around us and sin that's in us. Sin is defiance. Defiance of God and his plans for our life. So often we as individuals and collectively as a human race, we raise a fist to heaven and we tell God to get lost. We know what's best for us. We don't care what God wants. And so we act on the impulses of our greed and lust. We let anger and resentment consume us. We take our revenge where we can get it, whether that shows itself in a case of road rage or something else horrible that we say or do to the people around us. And then when the pain of all of that becomes too much, the guilt too great, we look to escape it by turning to the addiction or addictive behavior of our choice. What does it get us? More of the same, right? More of that lonely, empty, anxious darkness that we dread so much. And there's just nothing that we can do about it. Maybe you know that the Bible talks about darkness too. The darkness that is certainly part of our life right now, but it also warns that if we continue on in this darkness, it's not going to get better for us. You can't defy God day after day. You can't keep raising a fist to heaven and think that God's okay with it. He's not. In fact, he warns that the punishment for that is more darkness. In fact, the Bible describes hell as outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You begin to get the sense why Paul wasn't going to put himself out there as the solution to such a desperate problem. He's got nothing. We're not the solution either. We can't very well escape the darkness around us because of all the darkness that's in us. No matter how hard we try, we just keep sinning more. Be an awful note on which to end a sermon, wouldn't it? Thankfully, it doesn't end there. Paul is so quick to continue. We do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Paul had a sudden revelation. He wasn't a self-help guru. It didn't come from within. But that doesn't mean that Paul didn't have help to offer. He had the best, the only help there is. Help that found him when he was as lost can be. Maybe you know the story. It happens to Paul as he's traveling along a dusty road on a way to a place called Damascus. Paul, then known as Saul, is on a search and destroy mission. He wants to find and kill as many followers of Christ as he can. You talk about defying God, huh? But in the middle of that mission, the risen Jesus turns the tables on Paul. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. In the moments that followed that encounter, Paul experienced firsthand God's love for him in the person of his son, Jesus. Because as it turns out, God found Paul not to punish him, but to pardon him. And suddenly, Paul's life was forever changed with the forgiveness God gave him. His guilt gave way to peace. His worry gave way to hope. And the darkness in his life gave way to light. Paul saw the light. Not because he was looking for it, not because he did anything to have it. It was simply by the grace of God. By love unearned and undeserved. God's love still works this way. It has to, or no one's ever going to be saved. We sinners will never earn God's favor. We'll never be in a spot to deserve his love. And yet, that love seeks and saves us, not because of what we are, but because of who God is and because of what he does. As he works through this amazing cycle that's playing out in our text, God's love finds Paul, transforms his life. The love is so compelling, Paul can't keep it to himself. He starts sharing it with everyone he knows and meets. In fact, Paul says that it's for the sake of this love that he now knows that he becomes a servant to his fellow sinners and reaches out to them with the gospel of Jesus. And so it continues to this day. Love seeks and saves, always working first through someone who's found, and then that person shares it with another needy soul, lost and alone in sin's night. That maybe sounds familiar to you. It's your story. It's mine. God found us when we weren't expecting it, when we didn't deserve it, but when we needed it most. His love found us through the efforts of someone in our life who was willing to be a servant and bring Jesus to us. And you need to understand that didn't happen by accident. That was part of God's plan for you. In the same love that sent Jesus to this world, God sent the message of Jesus to your heart. And that's when he worked this wonderful miracle. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts. It's a beautiful comparison. You're thinking back to the beginning, to creation. The world is covered in darkness until God says, "Let there be light." And there was light. And a similar thing happened in you. In the darkness of your sin, God spoke the name of Jesus and kindled into flames the faith that you have now in Christ. It was all the doing of God. You had nothing to do with that. You didn't invite it. You weren't looking for it. God brought it to you, which means that we can say with the greatest of confidence, we've seen the light by the grace of our God, by love unearned and undeserved. We've been talking a lot about this light, but just exactly what is it? I'll tell you what it isn't. It's not just some warm, fuzzy feeling that's burning inside of us. We're talking today about the light of God's glory, which has revealed itself in many different ways through the ages of time. We heard in our first lesson today in the book of Exodus that that light appeared in the form of fire and smoke. In our gospel reading today, Peter, James, and John see that glory reflected in the face and clothes of Jesus. And then, like one born out of time, Paul sees something similar on the road to Damascus. And we're listening to all of this and we're thinking, well, God, why don't you do that for me once in a while? In my dark days, why don't you give me a little light from heaven, beam some light of Jesus down, and then I'll know all is well. God does something so much better for us. He works a miracle every day. He wants us to know the light that shines in our life is in the face of Jesus. And the way that he does that is so miraculous. And you can testify to this. It happens when you're tormented by something that you've done or said, something awful. Maybe it's just recently, or maybe it's in the distant past and it just keeps coming up and bothering you and you don't know what to do about it. But then God holds before you the face of Jesus. He gives us the light of the knowledge of God in that face. And what that means is that he tells us, he reminds us in the scripture that his son carried our sin, all of it, to the cross, where he claimed our guilt as his and then suffered our darkness and hell so that we'll never have to. For the sake of Jesus, you live forgiven. God doesn't hold any sin against you. It's as if you never ever sinned. The peace that that truth brings to our hearts is glorious, is it not? When troubles come, when sickness strikes, when we suffer great loss, and there's nobody on earth who can help us, God pulls alongside of us in his word, and he offers us this assurance. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he also not along with him graciously give us all things? God says to you, remember, when you were lost and alone, I found you. My love rescued you. I brought you into my family. And I love you just the same today. There isn't anything I can't or won't do for you. I'll bring you through this. I'll bless you. You can count on me. The comfort that truth brings to our hearts is glorious. Is it not? When our days on earth come to their end, when no one can walk beside us, God holds the face of Jesus before us. And he reminds us that the one who died to take away our sin lives again. He's risen from the dead. He's alive to bring us safely to himself. And just like that, God sends Jesus not only to light the path to heaven, but to carry us there. So that you and I are bold to confess with another king of Israel, King David, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Don't miss it, folks. The glory of God is always beaming into our lives. It's not a light that hits us on the road. It's a truth that feeds the faith in our hearts and embraces God's promises and clings to them. This faith shines brightly, and that's exactly the way God wants it to stay in your life. That old light bulb in Livermore, California, is looking pretty tired these days. 120 years ago, it was made to be a 60-watt light bulb. Now it glows at a mere 4 watts. It's no brighter than a night light. Time has not been its friend. The time we spend in a sin-dark world threatens to do the same thing to the light of faith that God has placed in us. But our God transcends time and does away with all threats. You know how? Through his word. A word that he gives us to read every day in our homes and study together every week here at church. He reminds us it was the word that he used to bring us to faith. And it will be the same word that he uses to keep us his people until that day when we see him face to face in all the glories of his heaven. For Jesus' sake. Amen.